Good afternoon. This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and distinguished lecturer emeritus at York College, City University of New York. I welcome you to this May 25th, Memorial Day and African Liberation Day edition. And I have to throw in there the coronavirus pandemic edition of Vantage Point here on 99.5 FM. And that is, of course, WBAI. On the Pacifica Network in collaboration with ycradio.org. Well, we hopefully have a powerful show lined up today, but first of all, let me just say somberly that we are approaching 100,000 people who have died as a result of this horrific, dreaded pandemic. And I think it's important to just pause. But I also want us to think, we've been doing a great job on this station. Every host and has been calling out and trying to get us to work together. Deadly toll. But I really want to ask people, please don't be selfish. The images that we saw yesterday at Daytona Beach and a pool party in the Ozarks and so forth is, yeah, of course, we all want to be liberated. We want to, you know, get ourselves in a position where we can enjoy the outside, and we can do that. That's not a contradiction between that and being safe. And if you don't care about yourself, if you just say, well, I don't really care, I might catch it, that's not the point. The point is, we want you to be safe, and we don't want you to be selfish. Because the issue becomes, if you are infected, you can spread it to others. And so let's care about each other. Let's not be selfish. It's really not about you. It's about others. And I had to go out yesterday, and I'm proud to say that, you know, at least in the neighborhoods where I rode yesterday, 99% of the people who were out there, you know, had their mask on. And that means wear a mask, keep your social distancing, wash your hands, do all those things, not just for yourself, but for others, because this is a vicious virus. I heard the Lieutenant Governor of Michigan, of course, the orange man is attacking the governor of Michigan viciously because he has this problem with women. In the process, the lieutenant governor simply said that he had lost 21 family members in Detroit. Not just family members. And then he said his pastor had just died the night before. So this virus is no joke. First point. Second point is, of course, Memorial Day, I have mixed emotions about, because, you know, black folks have been the most patriots in this country, and not always well received, frankly. And so I have some embellishments about it, but we certainly want to honor the sacrifice of those black veterans. You think of the Tuskegee Airmen and others who fought for this country when this country was unwilling to recognize them and or to reward black people with full citizenship. So we just take a moment for that. It's also African Liberation Day. In fact, when I saw May 25th, it didn't even dawn on me it was Memorial Day, because May 25th is African Liberation Day all over the world. And in 1972, I was a part of the founding of the first African Liberation Day rally and march that brought some 25,000, 35,000 people to Washington, D.C. So I'm thoroughly familiar with that. And there are all kinds of African Liberation Day symposia going on, including one by NACO today, another one by December 12th Movement. So I'm really delighted to see that. Finally, and equally important today, it is Pledge Drive. And so today we're going to be talking about the life and legacy of Dick Gregory. Reverend Mark Thompson will be joining me for the second interview later in the hour. to talk about the life and legacy of Dick Gregory. Our premium for today is a Dick Gregory compilation CD from the Pacifica Archives. And that cost would be $100. And what a gift to be able to have Dick Gregory in your toolkit, to have Dick Gregory in your archives. What a remarkable human being. Great friend of mine. We worked together many, many years. I'll talk about that with Mark Thompson. But also, we'll be talking about the Keep Free Speech Radio Alive mask as well. Those are $35. I put up $200 at the beginning of the drive. The premium today is $100. I'm a $50 short. I will make the additional $50 and make sure that people challenging you to match my $100 today. But the real gift is, of course, WBAI. Well, our first guest is Attorney Lori Daniels Favors, who is the interim director of the Center for Law and Social Justice at Medgar Evers College. She made a presentation along with Nana Gomphy, who was also on my show talking about the census, because the census is important. And she was utterly impressive. I mean, she just blew us away with the brilliance of her presentation, but scared the living bejesus out of me, because it reinforced just how deadly it can be if we don't do what needs to be done with the census. So, Attorney Daniels Favors, welcome to Vantage Point.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate being able to spend some time with you and your audience today.
All right. Well, let me move quickly. Let's get a little background. Again, as I said before, I was so impressed with your presentation, as was everybody. Give us a little brief background. Are you a Brooklynite, born and bred in New York, or do you hail from other parts?
No, my father is a Brooklynite, and then he spent the second half of his childhood in Harlem. And my mother is originally from Jamaica, and her family immigrated here when she was a teenager. And so I'm actually an Army brat. So my father was in the Army. Born and raised primarily overseas in Germany, lived some time in Washington State. I always came here every summer to visit family. I know a lot of people up north will send their children down south. My family, we came to New York City to see all of our family based here, and ended up coming here for law school and have been here ever since. So, I'm a Brooklynite by way of the world, I guess one could say.
Well, you obviously are very socially, politically conscious and have done really, really remarkable job. And, following in the footsteps of Attorney Esmeralda Simmons is no joke. I mean, she is one of the most brilliant people that we have had, one of the great leaders of our time. So tell us quickly, what got you involved in activism? Obviously you are committed. So where does that come from?
Yes, sir. And following after Esmeralda, it's been my pleasure, my honor to study under her. For me, it started when those summers where I came here. I remember when I was 12 years old, my uncle took us to go see the movie Sankofa, Haile Gerima's film. And were always sending us books and materials and, Public Enemy and X-Clan, Afrika Bambaataa materials when we were younger, because they knew we were not getting a whole lot of that overseas. And I've just always been fascinated by the story of our people internationally. I was an Africana studies major at college, and I just knew that I was going to be using my education in some way, shape, or form to be dealing with the issues that centered Black communities. And I have, my family members who think that they birthed that desire in me young. They nurtured it. And the work that I do today is a testament to their belief that Black children need a culturally responsive education that will empower them to use their educational pursuits to address the issues that our communities are grappling with. So I give praise and thanks to them for that.
Well, that's wonderful. And by the way, speaking of X-Clan, Ashley Paradise Gray, one of the members of X-Clan, is somebody that I've been conversing with. And I guess probably next week or the week afterwards, we're going to have him on. This is the 30th anniversary of one of their great first released album, I guess it was, To These Black Words or something like that he was telling me about. So we're going to have him on. Anyway, let's get right to it. I must say I was very stunned by the question of the undercount within the census. We'll take it for granted. Audience knows what the census is and all that. I want to get right to this issue of the undercount. How impactful it is, and how devastating it is. And if you could talk about that in general, but also use Brooklyn as an illustration.
Absolutely. So the census count is as you know, the way that our government or that the government of this country uses to determine how many political representatives you get and how many resources you're going to receive every year. And right now, over $700 billion every year is spent based on census data. What happens is if you live in a community that is not fully counted, and for the sake of this conversation, we should just understand that communities of African descent tend to always be what we call historically undercounted communities. That means that whatever, let's say you live in a community, a fictional community, of Wakandaville. If you live in Wakandaville, and Wakandaville has 100 black families living in it, and according to the census formulas for that year, communities of 100 black families should get $1 per family in education services and 10 political representatives. So every group of 10 families should have a single rep. That means you get 10 political representatives, you get $1 in education services. Well, if only 30% of the families in Wakandaville fill out the census, that means they only have a 30% census response rate, which means that instead of getting a full $100 for their education budget, they're only going to get $30 for their education budget. Instead of having 10 political representatives who can fight for them at the state capitol, at the city council meetings, and at the local hearings, they're only going to have 3 elected officials that can support them because they only got 30% of their people to respond to the census. But what happens is in September, all 100 families in Wakandaville are going to send their kids to the elementary, middle, and high school, but those elementary, middle, and high schools are only going to be funded at the 30% that the census response rate picked up because the other 70% who did not fill out the census, they were not counted. They literally, for the purposes of the distribution of political power and resources like education dollars, do not exist. And so if you have a community that has a 30 or 40% census response rate, you're only getting 30 to 40 cents on the dollar. You're only getting 30 to 40% of the political representatives that you should have. And so the undercount, to me, is actually almost more important than the count itself, because communities like Brooklyn, which is one of the largest Pan-African gatherings of people anywhere in the globe outside of the continent of Africa and the country of Brazil, Brooklyn tends to traditionally be undercounted, so much so that we were the least counted of anywhere in the state of New York and one of the least counted counties throughout the entire nation. And so what we see happening is that when our communities are undercounted, let's go back to that example of Wakandaville, instead of having those 10 political representatives, and every time you hear the word political representative, you need to think the word vote. That's 10 votes that we should have in this example for everything that we need to stop police brutality, to advocate for educational equity and cultural responsive teaching for our children, to fight for affordable housing, to prevent policies like stop and frisk, to fight for health care. Well, every time in Wakandaville, they are going up to vote on matters, because only 30% of the Wakandans filled out the census, they only have 3 out of the 10 votes that they are entitled to, which means they have to convince 7 legislators from other people's communities to agree with them just to get to where they would be had all of the Wakandan citizens actually filled out the census, or the Wakandan residents, rather. So that undercount, and what's happening in Brooklyn right now, because Brooklyn is coming in at under 40%. In the last census round, we came in at under 40%. When it comes up to the Black Bronx, to Black Staten Island, Black Queens, Black Manhattan, these are parts of the boroughs that traditionally tend to not be counted, which means they spend 10 years being under politically represented, under resourced, undernourished, underserved, and disempowered.
And I think you reported too at the meeting that Brooklyn was undercounted last time, but now it's trending even 10% less than it did last time.
That's right. And I thank my sister, Sister Nana, for adding to that conversation. We were already at an undercount in the 2010 census cycle. And so when you think about the healthcare fiasco that we're dealing with right now, the fact that our hospitals have the least amount of PPE, the least amount of ventilators, and the most amount of patients with comorbidities, what we have to recognize is that we are paying for the healthcare access we have right now in 2020 with the census count from 2010. So in 2010, if you only had a 40% census response rate, that's what's funding our healthcare budget right now. And currently, places throughout the city of New York, particularly in Brooklyn, that are the worst hit by this current rendition of the pandemic are also the ones that have the lowest census count. So literally the communities that can least afford to have an undercount are the very communities that are going to be dealing with this burden if we don't get these numbers up.
Well, and I was thinking about writing a little vignette called, which was entitled something like "Not Filling Out the Census is Killing Us." Because in a way, yeah, that's, you could almost say that that's the case, that there's a direct correlation between, again, well, the disparities are there for another reason, but the undercount, you know, means the resources aren't there. And then you said something else that I think is important to, that I recall, and that the current bills that are coming out of the Congress of the United States,
yes,
trillions of dollars being allocated, including the bill that is now being pushed by the Democrats that would provide,
yes,
a lot of resources for small businesses, for hospitals, for municipalities, that is also tied, the distribution of those resources will be tied to the census.
That's exactly right. And so what's happening now is for the CARES Acts that are being passed through Congress, they are determining how much money your communities will be eligible for and how many people they need to provide funding for based on the last round of census data. So if your community, and you know, our communities are tend to not be the ones that were getting approved for the PPP loans, we were the ones that were not being considered for the forgiveness programs, we got to realize that the allocation of those dollars is based on a 2010 census count, which was artificially low because we did not fill out the census in the numbers that we should have back in 2010. So those decisions of the past, you know, and I understand why our communities don't fill out the census. You know, there is a justifiable and legitimate fear, but the reality is, by not understanding how these systems work, we are literally being imprisoned by the fears. And, you know, one of the things that came out in that conversation was that in 1790, when we were only counted as 3/5 of a person, because, for the, again, the government did not want the South to have complete power over the North as it pertained to who was going to that balance. We had a higher census count back in 1790 when the people who owned our ancestors were doing the counting, and as a result brought those communities more resources and political power than we are bringing to ourselves right now.
Mm. Wow, that is really, really, really stunning. The other thing that stuck in my mind was, you know, there's been a big push for identifications within the Black community, whether one is Afro-Caribbean or Afro-Jamaican or people who are proudly and justifiably so wanting to, you know, to talk about the particularity of their ethnic or national heritage. So, for example, Ghanaian or Nigerian or whatever. And you pointed out that it is incredibly important that on the census this time, setting all of that aside, that it's important to check Black on the census. Please explain that.
Yes, so that is a really crucial point, because this is something different that did not exist in past census questionnaires. So there is this phenomenon where, as you rightly mentioned, if I'm from Jamaica, if I'm from Nigeria, if I'm from the Dominican Republic, when I hear the word Black or Black American, I think about a specific subset of American people. It's an ethnic group, its own ethnic group. And even though I may look Black, and even though the NYPD may treat me like I am Black, if I identify rightly as a Jamaican or if I identify rightly as a Dominican, I may see myself as separate and apart from that group, which makes perfect sense. However, what we have to understand is that in this country, race, nationality, and ethnicity show up and play out very, very differently. You may be from Jamaica, that is your nationality. You may be from Nigeria, from the Dominican Republic, that is your nationality. That is not the same thing as race. And we have to explain this, because race is a construct of the society in which you live. I spent some time in the Dominican Republic when I was finishing college. And when I went down there, they told me I wasn't Black. I said, oh, no. I'm definitely a black girl.
Yep, I know. Yeah, the Dominicans have a problem, but we'll talk about that later.
that's its own subject. That's its own subject.
Yes.
You know, there's a really fraught racial history there as well. But you go into other countries and when you travel internationally, your body may be interpreted as being a part of different cultures. Race is something that is specific to the culture in which you're in. What we need our immigrant population to recognize, and when I say immigrant population, I'm talking about the Pan-African diaspora. So as I always say, if Marcus Garvey was talking about you when he was waving that red, black, and green flag, I'm talking to you right now. You can write down for the first time, you have the opportunity to not have to choose between your nationality and race. So while you may identify as a Nigerian, you may identify as a Venezuelan, if you look black in this society, if let's say you were to be pulled over by the police and without them asking you, they would presume you are black, then for the purposes of race, which is different than nationality, you are considered a black person. Why does that matter? Well, because in this society, black is what we consider a protected racial category. Now, we can debate about how great the protections are, but they are there. And those protections include anti-discrimination laws, voting rights and voter protections, employment discrimination protections. So these types of legislation, when we go into court to argue on behalf of communities, we have to do so on the basis of race. But if all you write is you're Jamaican or you're Trinidadian or you're Dominican, Ghanaian, what have you, Nigerian, and you don't indicate race, you dilute our ability to be able to make the type of arguments that we need to defend communities from those types of racially aggressive stances. So you can write down your nationality. In question 8 on the census, it'll ask you if you are of Hispanic heritage. You can either write yes or no. And then regardless of whether you are of Hispanic heritage, because Hispanic is an ethnicity, it's a cultural group, it's not a race. The next question, question number 9, says to check a race. And so we are asking all members of the Pan-African diaspora to check black. That is the name of our campaign, the Check Black campaign. And we have engaged, embraced that in coalition with others. And then after you check black for your race, then you can write in your nationality. And it's very important that people do write in their nationality because it gives us data. One of the things that was difficult for us when we first started our coalition in 2017 for the census was that when we looked for where all the Caribbeans located, we had the numbers of the major island or the so-called major islands. We could find where the Jamaicans were, where the Trinidadians were. We could find those groups that have significant numbers of immigration into the city. And when we were looking for, say, Nigerians, when we were looking for Senegalese or Ivorians, all we could find was Africans. So that obviously African is not a specific enough term to give us the type of data that we need in order to pinpoint the types of resources that we need to ensure that each community receives. So for the first time, you don't have to choose. You can write down your nationality. You took a 23andMe or Ancestry.com test, and you want to write down all 40 of your nationalities, however many you can fit in those boxes, go for it. But for the race, you have got to check black so we can ensure our communities are fully protected.
All right, check black on the census. Now, finally, we want to get this information out. I'm really committed to doing more. What can stations like WBAI, I have a radio show here on WBAI, what can stations like WBAI do to help get this information out, the check black, about the undercount, all the kind of things that the Law and Social Justice is doing? What can we do?
I mean, I think this right here is an example of doing the work. So having people on who are able to talk about these issues in a way that is open and honest and unapologetic. Having PSAs is fantastic. There is ad dollars that the city is spending and I hope they're spending them with WBAI that can allow for the running of commercials and ads. But really, wherever you have distribution of social media, sharing the messages about the census across the social media platform. And again, consistently bringing on guests to talk about this and the ways that it matters in practical everyday language, that's vitally important. I once had an elderly gentleman, he was in his late 60s, and he told me, I've got multiple degrees, I've got graduate degrees, undergraduate degrees, and I've spent the past, 5-6 decades hiding out from the census because I thought it was the man was trying to come find me. And I never understood what the census was about, and I'm highly educated. And so I think a lot of our community members, we just don't know. And like I always say, we only got the right to register to vote, the Civil Rights Act and the Fair Housing Act passed in the 1960s, which means if you know someone who's 57 years or older, they're literally older than immigration in this country. So understanding how these systems work, systems that we did not put together, by the way, because when these systems are being put together, we had to hide out in the woods and we wanted to teach our children how to read a book. So understanding how the systems that govern the distribution of resources and political power for our lives is vitally important. And I think each of those things can help to spread that message.
Well, finally, how do people get in touch with the campaign, either in whatever means, through the Center for Law and Social Justice, or just give us some contact information in case there are people out there who want to help, people who are willing to engage?
Absolutely. And this is a great day to do it because in addition to it being Memorial Day and African Liberation Day, we've also claimed today as Black Family Census Day. So we had a series of events this morning on our Facebook page, a series of interviews on the state of Black New York City and how the census is tied to that. And you can find that at facebook.com/Center for Law and Social Justice. If you want to follow us on Instagram, where we have a pretty active campaign where we're sending out graphics and images that we encourage you to share, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at CLSJ_MEC. That's C like center, L like law, S like social, J like justice, _MEC for Medgar Evers College, where we are proudly based. Or you can visit our website at clsj.org. We have a census justice page there with a lot of materials and information. We're happy to have people download it, share it, email it out. And if you want to reach our office, we are working remotely, but you can reach us by email at info@clsj.org.
All right. Well, you heard it here on Vantage Point, this really, really very committed, visionary, courageous, brilliant sister who is the interim director at the Center for Law and Social Justice at Medgar Evers College, attorney Lori Daniels Favors. Thank you so much for favoring us, no pun intended, with your presentation here today. Thank you so much. Really
appreciate
it. Thank
you so much for having me and for the kind words. I appreciate you.
All right. Okay. We're going to continue to pound the census. I don't know that WBAI, I don't think the station accepts government money, government dollars, I don't think. But I am really going to request that we do PSAs. This, again, the failure to sign up for the census is literally killing Black communities all across this country and right here in the city of New York. Well, we're going to move now to our next guest. I hope he's online and ready to go. Okay, well, we're going to be moving to Reverend Mark Thompson. So we're about 3 minutes behind time here. We're moving tight because I got to get the plugging and appealing around our premium for today. And that premium for today, again, is Dick Gregory compilation CD. From the Pacific Archives. What a wonderful resource that is, the Pacific Archives, with such great materials. And we offer these great materials as premiums. So our premium today is Dick. Everybody, we know Dick Gregory. We know and love Dick Gregory, right? So this is a great gift for you to pledge for, subscribe to. So you go to your phones right now while we're waiting for Reverend Mark Thompson to join us. At 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, and that's to sign up to get that premium. The premium for today is Dick Gregory's compilation CD from the Pacifica Archives. That means you'll be able to listen to the wit and wisdom and the wit and wisdom, but his wit and wisdom increasingly was focused on the civil rights movement, the human rights movement. He was just this incredible human being that has so many facets to him. We miss him dearly in terms of what he brought to the table. Again, I started the pledge drive with $200, 50-50-50 for the first 3 weeks, which means I'm $50 short. So I didn't get a chance to go online beforehand, but I will today to put up another $50, which will mean a total of $250. So you can match. I'm looking for at least 15 people, at least 15 people to match my $100, right? That's the 15 people to match my $100 so that we can not only survive here at WBAI, we can thrive. We are urgently needed. You heard the interview previously with Noam Chomsky on the previous show. You know, we have that kind of programming here on WBAI, and a lot of it is focused on this, the pandemic and whatnot. Dick Gregory would have been all over this, talking about this as well. So we really, really, really need your support. So dial 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Well, we have Reverend Thompson in now. We're running now. We're really running tight on time. So we could talk about Dick Gregory for two or three shows, let alone now. I guess I have only about 11 minutes now. So let's get right at it. Reverend Thompson, welcome to Vantage Point.
Yes, sir, Dr. Daniels. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I know it's hard to catch up with you because you're spanning the globe. It's continuing to do Make It Plain in the podcast form. And I understand the designated moderator of almost anything and everything, you know, including with Reverend Jackson and people all over the place. So I appreciate you spending some time with us. We're tight on time. As I said before, we're today dealing with the life and legacy of Dick Gregory, because our premium for today is a Dick Gregory compilation CD from the Pacifica Archives. So I thought it would be appropriate. You're the person that I know that knows most about Dick Gregory. You were closest to him. You were close to the family. Certainly, I was a friend with Dick for many, many, many years, did a lot of work with him. But you're the one that, you know, Dick Gregory, as far as I knew, called you almost every day. So let's get right at it. What I wanted to ask you, it's not so much about Dick Gregory. Would you share a little bit about his family, for example? Like, how many children did he have? And can you say something about those children?
Thank you for having me, and happy African Liberation Day, as well as having Memorial Day, which our enslaved ancestors began in South Carolina. So Dick had 10 children. And it's funny that we will be talking about this today, too, because Dick and Lillian Gregory had 10 children. And just today, I don't know if you had a chance to mention that, but our friend and elder comrade, Dr. Conrad World, is fighting some health issues. And so today I had Dick Gregory's youngest daughter call and sing to him over the phone. And Conrad told the story about how he met Dick Gregory, Dr. Daniels, and he said he went to visit him in his apartment in Chicago, and they showed how he had so many children. There was one apartment. They had to knock a wall down to take a second apartment because the family kept growing, and there were so many children. All of those children are doing well, from physicians to attorneys to Ayanna herself, who is a performer and a vocal artist, to the youngest, the 10th child, Johanse, who's a financial expert. And many may remember, and if you don't, you can look it up online, when Dick had Dick and his family were featured on the cover of Ebony magazine. And you can see them crossing, and that probably happened more than once. Mrs. Gregory, you know, you and I have been a part of the movement in Selma for many, many years. Mrs. Gregory went to Selma as early as 1964 when she was pregnant and went to jail in Selma standing up for voting rights. And when they found out it was Mrs. Gregory, when the authorities found out it was Mrs. Gregory in the jail, they went to release her, and she said, "No, I'm not staying. I'm not leaving. I'm staying until the rest of the ladies are released." She was in a cell with a bunch of women. So, you know, there's always been that activism in the family, not just from Dick, but from Mrs. Gregory as well. And even today from the children, all of them have been active in righteous causes themselves over the years.
Well, one of the reasons I'm glad, and that was going to be my next question you anticipated, was to talk about Miss Lillian Gregory, because she was very interesting. Because, you know, whenever you call Dick, I mean, she was the booking agent, you know. So if you called Dick, and he was always willing, and, you know, he was willing to do whatever. He said, "Call Lil," you know. You'd have to call her, and the farm they had up in New England, and you would talk to her, and then, you know, she would check it out and get back to you and whatever. But it was always interesting because she was always, you know, behind the scenes, so to speak. I had a couple of other things I want to do, but in the interest of time, what came to me today is we're talking about the life and legacy of Dick Gregory. And like I said, I know that you talk to Dick all the time, because you and I would talk, and you say, I talked to Dick this morning, and he talked, called me in the middle of the morning, like 3 o'clock and so forth. Did you ever talk to him about how he wanted to be remembered?
Yeah. He when he was asked what he wanted people to say about him when he died, Dick would always say he would want people to say, he's moving in the casket, so to speak. But that's all he really said. You know, Dick was tireless. And his death came rather suddenly and unexpectedly. You know, Dick, I think, was just tired from so many years from work. And even when he died, it wasn't expected. And in fact, they were going to release him from the hospital. And they said, Mr. Gregory, you ready to go home? And Dick simply said, yeah, but not the home you're talking about. So there was rarely a lot of discussion about him dying. He also would say he didn't want to die before his wife, Lillian, because he wanted to make sure that he died first, because if she died first, because if he died first, he'd be afraid she'd get another man. So you know him, that's how he talked. But he rarely, we didn't talk a lot about death and dying. And I think for some people, that's just how it is, because there's something about them that knows they're going to live forever. And I think everybody under the sound of our voices would agree, Dr. Daniels, that we really miss Dick now more than ever. Can you imagine how he would be weighing in on this coronavirus and how that's affecting our bodies? Because, you know, a great part of his life was spent in terms of health and medicine and nutrition. And there's no telling what he would be doing. And I've tried my best to listen to his voice and think about things he would say. But if nothing else, I know he would want us all to be very, very careful and to be as still as possible and to listen. You know, Dick was amazing. As much as he talked and as many routines as he had, Dick would go on these silence fasts. He would fast for days without any noise, without the telephone, without talking to people. People always knew he fasted from eating, but he would also fast from noise and from talking and engaging, just so he could listen to God and listen to the Creator and listen to the ancestors. So that was another incredible thing about Dick. But frankly, we didn't really get to talk about that. And that was, when he passed, it was so unexpected. You know, many of us regret it. Wow, you know, what should we say? What should we do? What would he want? And so the family did the absolute best they could for the husband and the father. And, you know, we just have his lessons and his legacy to live off of from now on.
Well, finally, as I began to encourage our listening audience to support WBAI by way of the premium for Dick Gregory today, your thoughts about why our listening audience at WBAI should be supportive by purchasing the premium with the voice and the words of Dick Gregory?
Well, for a couple of reasons, especially for the reason I just said, you know, Dick would be talking to us now, and in many ways he is, whether we hear him yet or not. Some of us need to be still and quiet enough to hear him. Absolutely. There's that. But also, folks, more than ever, with everything going on in the world, we need to support independent media, independent journalism, independent voices. And that is exactly what WBAI has been and has always been. You know, everybody now is raising money, trying to stay alive. But we know WBAI has already asked us to support them before. This is nothing new. So we know that for WBAI to continue to live and to thrive and to bring great shows like Dr. Daniels and others to on the airwaves to us, we've got to support it ourselves. No one else in the mainstream media is going to make that happen. So you get two for the price of one. With the premium, you get the inimitable voice of our friend and brother and our now ancestor, Dick Gregory. But you also get to support the ongoing independent voices that WBAI offers. So I strongly encourage each and every one of you under the sound of our voices to do it. Pick up that premium. You will not regret it. There is nothing, there's never been a time that Dick Gregory has not offered so much knowledge and so much light to everyone's life. So please, ma'am, please, sir, take advantage of the premium.
All right, Reverend Mark Thompson, my dear beloved friend for so many years, and a dear, dear friend of Dick Gregory and the family, a person that I know knew him better than almost anybody. Appreciate you taking time from your very, very busy schedule to be with us today on Vantage Point and to make that appeal to help me when I get ready to do my please, please, please with our WBA audience. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Daniels. God bless you, and God bless the WBAI family. Happy African Liberation Day.
All right. That was Reverend Mark Thompson. Again, he has his own podcast, Make It Plain, the Make It Plain podcast. I neglected to ask him, as I should have, when it airs, but I can find out and let you know. I had the privilege of being a guest host for him on many, many occasions. And, you know, it's one of the things I've done over the years, but he's a dear beloved friend. He's also a member of the National African American Reparations Commission, and we're planning some big actions coming up. In fact, a national virtual forum with the National African American Reparations Commission. And I guess I should have, I will remind folks that there's a virtual this coming Sunday. This is the last time to speak of it, but this coming Sunday, a virtual NARC, National African American Reparations Commission, ACLU forum, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the 99th anniversary of the Tulsa Massacre and destruction of Black Wall Street. You heard Dr. Tiffany Crutcher last week here talking about that on Vantage Point. All the more reason why I am asking my friends, we only got a few minutes left, and I'm asking you, 15 people, 15, in the memory of Dick Gregory on this African Liberation Day, to go to your phones and dial 516-620-3602 to get the premium for today, Dick Gregory compilation CD from the Pacifica Archives. And you'll hear the wonderful, I mean, there's so much material from Dick Gregory, but any of it, I mean, Dick Gregory is Dick Gregory. I mean, he was funny, he was hilarious, he was crazy, he was thoughtful, insightful, human rights activist, radical. No one like Dick Gregory. You know, the nutritional stuff he did, the fasting that he did on behalf of many, many, many causes, the fact that he was a long-distance runner physically, but also in terms of his support for the civil rights, human rights movement, a man who could have made millions and millions and millions more if he had simply decided to be just a comedian. But he wasn't just a comedian. You know, he took his craft as a comedian, he turned it to utilize it to support, you know, the Freedom Fighters, SNCC, SCLC, CORE, individuals all over the South. And then he continued that throughout his life. You know, I mean, he could have made all the money he could have made, because he was dedicated to human liberation, the liberation of Black folks and other oppressed people. And so in his memory, $100. And because WBAI is so important, you heard that interview earlier, you may have heard it before, but I'm committed to making sure we bring action-oriented types of programming. You can act on that, right? You can go fill out that census to prevent death and dying in the Black community. Us being starved from resources. We pay taxes. But it's not really about our taxes, it's about the system of white supremacy depriving our communities in terms of these disparities that are out there. And we certainly need resources. So overcome the fear, all the stuff about what they may do, this confidential. But even if it ain't confidential, they know everything about you anyway. So it ain't like you can hide. So, you know, this is something we need to do. Do that census. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Match the professor's $500. Thank you. Thank you. We want you to match our $100. Match the $100. 516-620-3602. Now, in addition, as I've said before, we have these wonderful, well-designed masks and that speak to our safety, keeps us from spewing out. And people don't really understand. I mean, the data's out there. Just talking gets the droplets in the air. A cough or a sneeze makes it worse. And as much as I love to hear, you know, gospel music and the spirituals, singing and shouting in the name of the Lord could be suicidal, could be fatal. And so you have to be, we have to, you know, so protect ourselves. So we have a mask. Our staff has come up with this beautiful, functional mask. And it's Keep Free Speech Radio Alive Mask. $35. So you can call 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602 and say, I want a mask for $35. And I'm also going to pledge $100 to get the premium. You may do one or the other, or you may decide to do both, $135. Or let's say you want a mask for you and your family. Maybe you want to get five masks. You know, just tell the operators. They're volunteering. They're there listening, waiting for, thank you for calling. But we don't want to wait. There's still too many lines. Too many lines are yet unfilled. We want every line filled for those volunteers in the call center. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. We have got to do this. And Mark Thompson, Reverend Mark Thompson, hit it right on the head. He said, look, we've asked you before. We continue to ask you. And you say, well, but you keep asking us. Yeah, we keep asking because we keep needing. And by the way, we know that there are some people out there who are not able to do it. And I think we're learning just how deep inequality is in these United States of America. And Dick Gregory would be saying to us, God don't like that. No, no, no. God and Dick Gregory would be he would be talking about the orange man and all of the orangeites. He'd be talking about Orange Crush. Because we got to purge the system of this virus, this malignancy that has permeated. The system was already bad enough, but this is now a new, more dangerous, more deadly malignancy politically that needs to be purged out. And we're going to take this as an opportunity to mourn as we must. But we also have to organize. We have to organize and fight to make sure that over the long haul, and like, you know, Martin Luther King said, it may not be in your lifetime, may not be in my lifetime. That's not the point. The point is we must be committed to doing everything we can in our lifetime to vindicate, to validate those 100,000 who have lost and the millions of Africans who've died. Those who were exploited as coolies, so-called coolies, agents in building the railroads. The folks who were deprived of their citizenship rights, you know, in 1848 and beyond, Latinos and the people of Latino heritage and, you know, whatnot. All of this has to be vindicated. And the other original sin, the enslavement, not the enslavement, I'm sorry, the dispossession, ruthless, brutal dispossession of Native Americans, of the indigenous people. America has to pay for that. And the price is the birth of a new society. Been committed to that most of my adult life. Doesn't change. That's what I'm about on this radio. I'm not here just because I'd like to be on the radio. I mean, I do. I enjoy it. I'd love to interface with you. But it's really about that process. That's where my book is still on this journey. Still on this journey. And ain't no ways tired. Aches and pains. Yeah, I ain't going to lie about that. But my spirit is strong. mind is strong. Commitment is strong. And we want you to be strong by calling 516-620-3602 in the memory of Dick Gregory, Baba Dick Gregory. 516-620-3602. $100. There are those of you who can't afford it because you got your pension already in place. You got your Social Security in place. You got your TIA, CREF, whatever. You locked it down so you can do it. Those are the people, those who can. That's what we're asking, those who can. We know that there are those who can. And so we do it in the name of and in memory on this day of those 100,000, but all those essential workers on the front lines. Dick Gregory, another thing about Dick Gregory, you heard Dick Gregory, he got so much intelligence because Dick Gregory would be hanging out in the kitchens. Dick Gregory would be hanging out with the bellman. He'd be hanging out with the janitors. I mean, Dick Gregory, this famous person, and nobody ever did anything to Dick Gregory. Because everybody knew him. Anybody going to touch Dick Gregory, right? Because Dick Gregory was always with the common people all the time. That's the other thing. Just dawned on me. You're talking about essential workers. He hung out with the essential workers. These was his peeps. This was his posse. Both in terms of solidarity and friendship and community, but also intelligence. Because these folks would be telling him stuff that they saw and heard. Dick Gregory was hanging out with the average people all the time. Dick Gregory's memory. Go to that phone right now. Thank you. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Go to the phone right now. Thank you. Thank you. We're getting there. 516-620-3602. Right. We can do this. We have to do this. We have to do this. That's why I put my little resources up. To just set the tone. I owe $50. I'm going to pay my extra $50 because I was doing 50-50-50 because we had three different premiums, all of which were great, by the way, I hope. But I wanted to go Dick Gregory. I said, let's do Dick Gregory today. Let's do Dick Gregory. $100. And that premium is the Dick Gregory compilation CD from the Pacifica Archives. And what a wonderful treasure that is, the Pacifica Archives. All of these great premiums that enhance your knowledge. Knowledge is power. Continue to quote me. Ignorance is not bliss. It is catastrophic. Apathy can also kill. Inaction can also be deadly. The failure to fill out that census form is harming and crippling and further damaging. The Pan-African diaspora. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. They already know what. First of all, they say it would be confidential, and I'm sure they're making every kind of effort. But beyond that, ain't no sense in Ron Daniels acting like they don't know. They ain't got the book on me. And and if you ain't doing nothing, they ain't got nothing on you anyway, because they interested in folk who they think are a threat. But even if that's not the case, your Social Security number, all this stuff is all of, it's out there. So don't even go there. They already know. Do what needs to be done to protect our communities. I guess got about 30 seconds left. Go to your phone, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, in memory of Baba Dick Gregory, that wonderful family, 10 children, Ayana Gregory, Jelancey, whom those are the two I've met, and they are both just incredible human beings. Got to know Miss Lillian Gregory only by the phone. Talked to her so many times on the phone. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful family that dedicated his life for humanity. Got to close it out now. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Thank you so much. Continue to call 516-620-3602. You can also get the Keep Free Speech Radio Act Alive mask, $35. Call and deal with those as well. Come make some combinations, if you will. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We got to do this. We got to do this. It is life-saving. We got this life-saving. Be safe. Don't be selfish. Share. build community. Use the trauma and the disaster as a way of building towards the future. This is the Professor Dr. Ron Daniel signing off. We'll see you again here next week with Vantage Point on 99.5 FM on the Pacifica Network in collaboration with YCRadio.org.
Time is truly wasted. There's no guarantee.